In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and you shall be created. Let us pray. O God, and instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant us by the same Spirit may be truly wise, and every joy sin is consolation through the same Christ our Lord. O Lady Fatima, St. Joseph, Father Lanteri, St. Ignatia Loyola, St. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, all God's angels and saints, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So once again, we're going to be begging for the same grace that we were begging for at the beginning of the day, focusing on the person of Christ, begging for intimate knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we love Him more ardently and we follow Him more closely. So this morning, we are meditating upon the storm on the lake as well as our own storms, that we've gotten through them, otherwise you wouldn't be here. And as a result of these storms, you probably came out a better person. A better person. When you're going through the storm, you probably didn't think that. Probably thought that your ship was going to capsize and sink like the Titanic. But we're still here. We're still here. If these storms did not visit us, how would we appreciate the calmness of the lake? How can we appreciate health if we've never been sick? How can we appreciate the gentle breeze if we don't experience the scorching heat? How can we experience the beautiful sun ray if we haven't had rain fall upon us? Unless we experience the reality of the cross, as Fulton Sheen says, without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. So the meditation I chose this morning is very providential because on our list that we decide that we would give you Lazarus, whose feast day it is with Mary and Martha. Father Victor already gave you the outline and the foundation, and I'd like to build on it a little bit more. Okay, the two passages that you can take are taken from Luke chapter 10, which is Mary and Martha inviting Jesus to their home in Bethany, which is about a mile and a half away from the city of Jerusalem. And the other is John chapter 11, which is the death and the resurrection of Lazarus. The Word of God is such an infinite reservoir of riches. It's like a the liturgy hours for this feast day of St. John the Cross says that Christ is like a gold mine. And John the Cross says that the deeper you go into the gold mine, the more pockets of these golden nuggets you're able to discover. I like John of the Cross. No? So Christ is like this gold mine, and you go deeper, you find these nuggets, they seem to become bigger and bigger. So Christ is that gold mine. He's the pearl of infinite price. He's the treasure that we leave everything to follow Him. So given that there's so much that can be said, I'd like to just glean one idea and start with another personal anecdote. When I was 11 years old, I was living in New York, and my father came home one day and said, "We're moving." And I was thrown into crisis. Was probably my first trauma. And the reason was is because there in New York I had my best friends. Eric Snitkoff, okay? John Deloney, Tommy Carney. I remember the names, no? I really treasured friendship, which is a lost virtue today. You speak with the younger generation, and very often they'll say, "I don't have a friend." The teenagers that we work with in confirmation, "I don't have a friend." And that casts me into desolation. Because I've always had friends. Even now, believe it or not, I've got some good friends. And I've always felt friends are gifts from God. Obviously, you have to cultivate the friendship. So, I tried to battle with my father, and within a month, we were no longer in New York, but we were in New Jersey. And it's interesting that within a relatively short time, I found some good friends in New Jersey. But I'm saying that because no matter where we go, any time, place, city, country, there's always a friend that's waiting for us, and that is Jesus Christ. We go to Africa, we go to the Philippines, we go to Timbuktu, go to Hawaiian Gardens, no? No matter where we go, we can always find a friend that's waiting for us, and that friend is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When my rector major sent me to my first assignment, which was Argentina, our rector major was Argentinian, so he probably had a preference for his own country, so he wanted to send me to Argentina, con los porteños, if you know a little bit of porteños, would be those who live in Buenos Aires, they live on the port. So I arrived in Argentina speaking a very good Italian. My English is pretty good too, believe it or not. But my Spanish was almost non-existent. And one of the first things I saw was this beautiful picture of the Sacred Heart. And it said below, "Jesús, el amigo que nunca falla." And that was about the first thing I read in Spanish. El amigo que nunca falla. Some of you know Spanish, at least the basics, right? What does that mean? Jesús, el amigo que nunca falla. It means he's a friend that will never fail us. We fail Him, but He never fails us. So, I'll give you those two biblical passages, but I'd like to build on the whole concept of growing in friendship with Christ. Do any of you know the definition that Teresa of Avila gives for prayer? She says, La oración es nada más que tratar de amistad estando muchas veces a sola con aquel que yo sé me ama. Beautiful definition in Spanish. If I translate it in English, it doesn't sound as good. But basically she's saying prayer is spending a long time in silence with a friend that I know loves me. That's the definition of Teresa of Avila. You know, Spanish, amistad y amor. You know, friendship and love. Those are the two pillars of prayer according to the doctor of prayer, Teresa of Avila. So I'd like to give you some ideas on how we can establish friendship with Christ, and basically that's the focus of this day. Getting to know Christ, love Him, follow Him, and then transformation, and then call the King. Let's bring others to Christ and Christ to others, okay? Bring others to Christ and others and Christ to others, no? Two-way street, huh? Okay, so these are some suggestions. First is we want to get to know Christ. A very simple principle in logic is you can't love someone that you don't know. Get to know Christ. What a privilege having 8 days in which we can really dig deep into getting to know Christ. You are God's spoiled children, right? How many people in the heart of summer are in a retreat house making an 8-day retreat? Very, very few. So be thankful and take advantage of the time you have to get to know Christ in a deeper way. And knowledge leads to love. And love to following, and following to imitation. Second would be this. And we spent 2 days on this topic. We want to try to avoid doing anything that could hurt, damage, or even rupture our friendship with Christ. That is the word sin. A few days ago I was giving you a means by which we can avoid sin when we're tempted to commit a sin. By saying no to the temptation, we say yes to the love of Christ. So instead of focusing upon the negative, you focus upon the positive. I'm tempted to do something that's wrong, that I know will hurt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I say, no, I'm not going to do it. We've been listening to our eloquent preacher, Fulton Sheen. How does he define sin? He defines sin as hurting the one you love. I could give you a whole list of definitions for sin. We as priests, we study languages, we come across the word amartia, right, in Greek. You know what that means? Missing the mark. Yeah, it's okay. But I don't think it's as good as hurting the one you love. So we want to do all we possibly can to avoid hurting the one we love. beg for the grace? Beg for the grace, and when you're tempted? No, because I love God more than that temptation, that sin. And be very firm. Don't vacillate or be irresolute, but be very, as Teresa of Avila says, a determined determination. To do nothing to offend the Lord. However, if we do offend the Lord, return to the Lord with all your heart, as the prophet says. Return to the Lord with all your heart. And how good God is. Sometimes it happens that God even allows us to sin so that He can bring something even greater out of it. And the best example I have in my mind is Simon Peter. Simon Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Then when he's walking on the shore of Lake Galilee, Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" And he actually asked him 3 times. I honestly think Peter loved our Lord more after the fall than before the fall because of that triple reaffirmation of love. So his love became all the more intense because he experienced the infinite mercy of Christ. John Paul II says, mercy is another name for love. Mercy is what? It's the love of God forgiving the sinner. Okay, the next step would be to... This is related to Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Jesus, we want to visit the Lord and allow Him to visit us. So Jesus would go to Bethany. That's where Mary and Martha live. And He was welcomed by Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Get in the habit of visiting the Lord. You can visit Him here in the Blessed Sacrament, but you can visit Him in the very depths of your heart whenever you want. Teresa of Avila says that our soul is like an interior castle. Okay? One of her writings. Your soul is like an interior castle. Who's living in that interior castle is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I mentioned the other day Brother Lawrence, remember that? Living in the presence of God. Pray for the grace to be more and more keenly aware of God's presence and visit Him in the very depths of your heart and talk to Him. How ironic is this? We are too busy for God, but He's never too busy for us. I repeat, ironic, right? Here we have the creator of the universe. We're too busy for God because we have very important obligations, right? He's never too busy for us. We should never be too busy for Him. Okay, now, another element of friendship with Christ. We learned this with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, is the virtue of hospitality. To being hospitable toward our Lord. Here's a good examination of conscience. You start off the day with two priests celebrating the Mass for you. How do you practice Eucharistic hospitality? Did you understand that question? How do you practice Eucharistic hospitality? Well, I'm giving a scenario that all of you have experienced in your life. And I'm going to say a little bit painful, but I have to hammer the idea home. Okay, you go to a home of a relative, a friend, someone you know, and that person basically ignores you. It's happened to all of us, right? Hello? It's happened. How did you feel? Really hurt. You felt snubbed. You felt forgotten. You felt ignored. You felt low self-esteem. You felt kind of angry. You're saying inside, well, what? And that person is really rude, man. Talk about a rude dude. I mean, that was really... Maybe God allowed that to happen because maybe we've done that to Jesus when we receive Holy Communion. Let's be honest. What if you had to be like Juan Diego, walking 10 or 11 miles from his uncle's house to, I think they say 10 or 11 miles. He was in his 50s when people would die in their 30s. Do you think that, why did Juan Diego walk such a long distance? If you don't know, I'll tell you. Because he wanted to keep studying his catechism, but he wanted to go to Mass and welcome Jesus into his heart. Yes. That's the primary reason. If we had to walk 10, 11, 12 miles in the sun, avoiding scorpions, and because he was walking through a difficult place, I think we'd appreciate the Eucharist all the more. One of the cancers of the married life is you take your husband or wife for granted. You've all done it if you've been married for quite a few years. It happens. But maybe we take the Lord for granted too. So we talk about friendship with Christ. We're talking also about welcoming Christ into the very depths of our hearts every time we go to Mass and Communion. There's no more intimate union between two persons, then the Eucharist and your soul. Because when you receive Holy Communion, you have the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in the very depths of your heart and your soul. So we mentioned Mary and Martha and Lazarus. For me, it triggers right away the idea of friendship with Christ. And you might turn to another Mary. Not Mary at Bethany, but Mary at Nazareth. I've written a book on this topic. The Annunciation and the Visitation are very Eucharistic. Because Mary, by saying, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word," what happens? Mary conceives Christ within her womb. Isn't that Holy Communion, receiving Christ? Well, what does Mary do? She doesn't keep Christ to herself, but she brings Christ to others. And that's the visitation. So the first and second joyful mystery, really, mystically speaking, they are Eucharistic mysteries. And they're mysteries related to friendship with Christ. So as you meditate upon Mary and Martha and Lazarus, let's remember, Jesus, He is el amigo que nunca falla. Jesus Christ is the friend that will never fail us. And if we grow in friendship with Christ in this life, He will be our best friend for all eternity. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Lord be with you. May God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.